A verse that you have heard me start with in the last number of Wednesday nights, we're going to go to again, Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But how many of you like the Living Bible? The Living Bible says, if you'll only let me help you, if you'll only obey, then I will make you rich. Praise the Lord. That's not, the way most Christians think, that God wants, they don't have that mindset that God wants to help them financially, but He does. We've been on a series on financial supply, financial prosperity, and so we're going to look at it again tonight, because, and it might seem like where we go with it tonight might just kind of look like kind of off on a different subject, but it's actually not. And so this verse just stands out to me, because the thing I see in it whenever I read it is the longing of God's heart. You can see His longing, His desire there, His graciousness. He wants us to receive the help that He offers. He's offering us something. And it's really not just finances. He's offering help. He's offering His counsel, His wisdom. He's offering His word. You know, His word is His wisdom. He's offering to give us direction. How many of you know the leading of the Spirit will help you in these things? Amen. And so He's offering us the word which renews our mind. And so His help is in His word. His help is in the leadings of the Spirit. And so we thank God for God's offer. But we want to take Him up on His offer. It's one thing for Him to make an offer. It's another thing to take Him up on it. And so then He said, if you'll only let me help you. And then He said, if you'll only obey, obedience to what His instructions are in that help that He's offering. Then He said, I will make you rich. The Bible says that God made Abraham rich. It specifically says that God did it. If you listen to some people today, they think, well, God would never do anything like that. He's not interested in that. But He is. Yes, He is. You know, if the Christians, if believers were the poorest people on the planet, we wouldn't be able to get the message out. God would be working against Himself. But He's not working against Himself. Amen. He's offering to help us enter into what He supplied in redemption, and that is wealth. That not only wealth. That's not what I'm trying to imply, but it is a side of it that people don't hear about. Remember Deuteronomy 8:18, it's He that gives thee power to get wealth. Power. It's He, God. God says He's offering you and I His power. Now, if it's His power, it's not nuclear power, it's not your brain power, it's His power. He's offering us power to get wealth. The word get means produce it. Hallelujah. There's a production center that God offers you. And that production center is actually your spirit. That's where these things will be produced. Spiritual things are the root of spiritual things being in order. Let's put it that way. And the right spiritual things being planted on the inside of you and I is the production center of all these things. And that's where the power is to produce this. I know that I told you about me crying out and saying, God, help us because we're struggling. You have said this many times, but you know, every now and then you say it, somebody gets it. You know, people sit there and bat their eyes and look at you and they don't get what you're saying. He'll do the same thing for you as He does for us and or others. Praise God. So, you know, I sincerely said, Lord, help me. I help us. It's not on your side. We know it's not on your side. It's on our side. Somehow or another, we're not tapping into this. We're not connecting with you on this. And it's not your fault. Help me, help us to see what we're not seeing. And boy, he wants to help us. He said right there, He wants to help us. And so He began to talk to me. And began to show me thing after thing. And it wasn't too long. Within a few months, I started saying things like this. No wonder. Because the things He was sharing were renewing my thinking. And I realized I had a lot of religion. Religious thinking. You know, Jesus is not religious. That doesn't mean He's not spiritual. But He's not religious. When I say religion, I mean man-made thinking. Man-made ideas. We won't get off on that. Anyway, so, but the point is, He started helping me. And he helped me with his word. Remember the thing, one of the first things he said was, prosperity doesn't begin with money in your pocket, it begins when my word finds a home in your heart. Yeah. You know, whenever you realize where it comes from, it comes from the word, it comes from fellowshipping with him and his spirit giving you answers in times of prayer, then that becomes the most precious thing, not the finances. Yes. Amen. Amen. If I had a little machine here tonight, let's say this was not a Kleenex box, but this was a machine that had a handle on it that I could go, ba-dum, 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 and every time I'd turn it, it'd produce a gold coin. Somebody said, well, I want those gold coins, not me. I want the machine. I want the machine. You can have all, okay. Whoa, look at that, 20 gold coins. Somebody said, I want those 20 gold, okay, you can have that. I want the machine. Right? Let me have the production center. And that's where people get their value system all messed up. They think that I want the finances, not me. I want God. I want his word. I want my mind to think right. I want his anointing to get wealth. I want his word living and having a home in my heart. That's the production center. Praise God. So we got to keep our focus on the right things. Somebody said, Pastor's preaching on money. No, I'm not. I'm preaching on the word. Yes. Preaching on the word. It just so happens to talk about God wanting to help us financially. So he's offering that, and I took him up on that. I said, Lord, help me. And he began to teach us, began to help us. I don't mean to imply that we've gotten everything God has for us, but I'm telling you, compared to where we were, it's like night and day. And I give him all the glory. You realize the way I say that, I give him all the glory. Someone said, your salary must be good. Well, I think it's fair. They try to give us more, but I don't receive it. But I think we've got, and I was looking at this thing about this the other day, I think we've got like 7 different areas of income that really go way beyond our salaries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, why have one thing working for you? Why not get a bunch of them working for you? Hallelujah. And some of them aren't that much. I mean, one of them is just sometimes selling some wood off the land. I mean, but listen, it pays for some things. So anyway, so he offers his help. Now, go over to Jeremiah 23, verse number 4. We were here last Wednesday night. Jeremiah 23, verse number 4. I'll set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Thank God for pastors. You got to realize I'm thinking of my pastor here. I'll set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Well, you can't hardly read that without reading or thinking about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. One of the big things about a shepherd, you know, I'm talking about sheep now, is that they lead the shepherd leads the sheep out to supply food, you know, things that they need, water. So there's a supply in the Lord's ministry as the our shepherd. But he mentions here shepherds, plural. The word shepherds translated pastor in the New Testament. Same Greek word in the New Testament translated shepherd. So he said, I'll set up plural shepherds. He's talking about the under shepherds. Remember last Wednesday night, I believe it was, we were talking about, 1 Peter 5, it talks about pastors. And then it says, when the chief shepherd shall come. In other words, we're going to have to stand before the chief shepherd whenever he comes. Yeah. Hey, that's a sobering thing. Yeah. Amen. But he said, there's a chief shepherd. But then there's under shepherds that are carrying out the chief shepherd's heart of caring for the sheep. Yes. You understand? Yes, sir. And feeding them. If you looked at, we looked at last week. We won't look at it today. But what is it? Jeremiah 3, I believe. It talks about I'll set up shepherds after my heart, will feed them with knowledge and understanding. Yes. That's the main thing that a pastor is to do is give people the word. Give people, teach them and feed them the word of God. Amen. And then he said, there's some things going to come out of that. He said, they'll not fear. How many of you know the word will set you free from fear? Yeah. Nor be dismayed. That means discouragement. Yeah. Boy, it'll make you bold in faith. You're no more discouraged. You're excited about tomorrow. Yeah. Number 3, you won't be lacking. Yeah. The word is the source. Yeah. Amen. Amen. For supply. Yeah. Now, And so there's a, and we're sharing this. We started last weekend. I keep saying weekend. Last Wednesday night, about the connection between prosperity and having a pastor. Yes. This is something that just keeps stirring in me. So we're going to look at this again tonight. And so we can properly understand this. Can you say amen? Amen. The word of God, it's not about, when we talk about pastors, we're not talking about the people, the humans. We're talking about that place of ministry God has set in the church and the anointing that's on it and the purpose God gives us these things. Amen. I mean, if God sets something in the church for my benefit, I want to know what benefit will come into my life because I have that in my life. And some of these verses, and we'll look at some more tonight, some of these verses show me some of those benefits. I mean, it's a whole lot more than natural things. Believe me, believe me, believe me. But we've talked about this much in the past. We want to look at this side of it tonight. Because there is a supply. You know, the Bible talks about over in Ephesians 1:3, I believe it is. It talks about he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God has in Christ. This is one of the in Christ realities. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, if you read that without knowing the whole counsel of the New Testament, you think he's just talking about spiritual things. But he is talking about spiritual things. But spiritual things, let's just take, for example, just one verse that'll make you understand this. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches in glory is not natural things. That's spiritual things. Amen. Amen. There's no $100 bills in heaven. It's too cheap. You know what I'm talking about. He's talking about spiritual things. Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. But he's talking about those spiritual things affecting your natural things. Even your financial affairs. He'll supply all your financial needs because the context, Philippians 4:19, is financial things. If you read that chapter. And so he said the spiritual things being in order will affect your natural things. Yes, so when he says in Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Don't just think spiritual things and nothing that doesn't have anything to do with natural things. Spiritual things being in place will affect natural things. You could spend a whole night on this, but just take, you know, we're familiar with Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, that's spiritual. Yep. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not natural. Right. In other words, seek first God's way he does things, the things of the spirit, the way his kingdom works. Yes. Which is his word. Yes. The word that you're holding on your lap is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's how everything in the kingdom of heaven works. Yes. Right? Yes. Seek that first. Yes. Seek to know how God does things. Yes. And then all these things, you know, the context is all whatever we're going to eat, what are we going to wear, so forth. All these things will be added to you. So natural things, again, are affected by spiritual things. And if things in the spirit are in order, like in this case, spiritual things are first. Not second, right. Not after I get all that I need. You know, I'll go to church if they'll let me off work. No, you tell them you're going to go to church. And if they don't want to work with you, then you say, I'm going to go find another job. Yeah. Well, I couldn't do that. I need the income. You need the word. Yes. First, yes. You need to be where the word's preached first. Yes. That's what all these, we got to get this right. Amen. Yeah, so praise the Lord. I don't know if you got that or not, but it's very, very important to understand that. So when we read, Ephesians 1:3, is it 3 or 5? I think it's 3. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Think of one of those blessings, because the Lord said this to me one day. He said, the anointing on your pastor is one of those spiritual blessings. That's what he said to me one day. It's like, whoa, I hadn't seen it that way. And he said, I said over there in Ephesians chapter number 4, where it talks about he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Remember that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and so forth, that we all grow up.
Yes.
See, that those offices being in place in our life will bring spiritual things into our lives. Will grow spiritually, which will affect every other area of our lives. Can you say amen? A lot of people think they need this, they need that, they need help in their finances, they need their body healed, so forth and so on. You need a pastor. You need a church. You need a local church. You need a place to be fed the Word of God. Because that's oftentimes how these things are getting in. Our mind needs to be renewed to you know, how many of you know Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Yes, I mean, if God's zigging and we're zagging, yeah, we're going to start, things are not going to be working a lot. But if we walk with him in agreement, then he said, you know, I'll be able to help you. Praise God. All right. So this is something that God talks to me a lot about. And in relation to our pastor, this is not just for, you know, what I'm preaching is not just for sheep, so to speak. I'm a sheep too. I need a pastor. Pastor Debbie and I have a pastor, and we hold that in its right place in our lives. You know, people might wonder why we go so much. Well, just like you go so much. You know, I'm talking about to your church. You go to your church. We go to where our pastor is. So, I think it's very interesting that the anointings on your pastor or your divine connection in the body, you know, there's a sheep and then there's ministers. We're all sheep, you understand. But sometimes people think of ministers not needing a pastor. Ministers need a pastor just as much as anybody does. Somebody speak in their life. So that anointing on that divine connection, which by the way, 1 Corinthians 12:18 talks about he sets us in the body as it pleased him. Not where it pleased me, but where it pleased him. Amen. So God sets us in divine connections. And I'm telling you, this is a bigger deal. Properly honoring that connection is a bigger deal than I think even my... Every now and then I get little glimpses. It's like, I'm still not seeing the fullness of this, how important this is.
Amen.
It's a big deal to God. It's a little bit like, you know, he blesses with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There are many spiritual blessings in Christ. It's plural there. Remember Ephesians 1:3, plural, blessings, plural.
Amen.
And one of them is the pastor. To say, I'll take this one, that one, and the other one, and I don't need this one, that one, that's to basically limit how much of the flow of God comes into your life. I want all of them so I get a full flow. Right? It's a little like Christianity, or getting saved is a little like buying a car. I mean, you can just get the stripped down version. You can buy one that has an engine, wheels, and you know, transmission, and, you know, windows, but there's no power. I don't even know if they sell one that you can crank down anymore. Right? But just get a stripped down version. Or you can get one that has it all. I mean, heated seats, heating steering wheel. I mean, just everything. And but some Christians, whenever they get saved, it's like they want the stripped down version of Christianity. And so they get a trickle of the spiritual blessings, but they don't get them all. I want all the spiritual blessings. And so that means I need to connect right with somebody in the body of Christ, because he set me in the body as it pleased him. Where's that connection? Because I want that spiritual blessing. I want what flows from my pastor to my life. Pastor Debbie and I don't try to get between me and Pastor Debbie and I and Pastor Nancy.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because something's going to go on the chopping block and it won't be Pastor Nancy.
That's right. Hello.
Right? Right? Don't try to tell us it's either this or you disconnect from Pastor Nancy. Well, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Amen. Because I need divine connections more than I need natural relationships.
Amen.
We got to value things right and honor things right. That sounds hard to some people, but I'm not trying to cut anybody off. That's not my heart at all. But if somebody wants to try to put an ultimatum on me or something, well, you just hurt yourself, right? So, but this anointing on these supplies into our lives is one of those spiritual blessings that we've inherited in Christ. And it's part of God's care for our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen?
To fail to see that and to honor it is to be deficient in spiritual things, which will affect natural things. The devil doesn't want us to see that, because I've watched people, you know, get disconnected. Not just here, but I, you know, pastors tell stories all over the body of Christ, and it's amazing. I've watched people get disconnected, and nothing. It doesn't seem to affect their lives immediately. And so they think, well, look, you know, well, praise God. But things start catching up. Old bondages start coming back. I've seen this over and over and over again. We've had people here that came off of, I think one person, 13 medications, if I remember right. I'm being conservative. It might have been 17, but I think I'll just say 13. Totally off all of them, and got disconnected and back on all of them and worse. Amen. What sits on your life is determined by the supplies that you honor in your life. If you supply if you honor natural things or natural relationships or something other than divine connections, that'll cut off supplies.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't receive from what you don't honor. Amen. So these things affect natural things. So Lot is an example of this financially. Lot went with Abraham and got many cattle and became wealthy because of his connection with Abraham. As soon as he got disconnected from Abraham and started getting more connected up to the world, Sodom and Gomorrah is a type of the world. He started going down from there until he lost everything, even his family, even his dignity and his morality. He lost it all. Because he honored, you know, natural things or the lust of his flesh more than that divine connection, which was the source of all that was coming into his life. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching, whether you want to hear it or not, that's good preaching. And so he forgot that he had, what he had was, you know, like it's a little bit like you know, Matthew 10, 40 and 41, he that receives these ministry offices, he mentions the prophet, but there's more than that in the New Testament, he receives the reward of that office. And that's a little bit like what was happening for Lot. He connected right with Abraham, and then whenever he got and got greatly blessed, but then when he got disconnected, that recompense of that reward was lost. He disconnected. Abraham was somewhat of a spiritual father to Lot. Lot didn't get into all that covenant blessing because Lot had a covenant with God. He got into it because he was connected. Now, all of us do have a covenant with God. I'm not saying, you understand what I'm talking about. But I'm saying there's a spiritual principle here that that spiritual supplies into our life, all spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1:3 includes the supply of the anointing of a pastor.
Amen.
And to say no to that because you want to do your own plans, which moves you to another state where there is no pastor. And the connection that you had brought healing, brought deliverance from some things. That's not right thinking to think, well, you know, I'll just do this. I've been wanting to do this all my life. I've had people say, well, we're going to retire and we're going to get a motor home. We're going to travel all over the United States. We've always wanted to travel and see the United States. What about what the Lord, did you ask the Lord about that? No, we just always have said it. Listen, you can get your affection set on something and keep on saying it, keep on saying, we're going to do this when we retire because we just have always wanted to do this. And you can get your affection so set on it and say it so much that you set it in motion and God has nothing to do with it. Now, I'm not just preaching about something here. I'm talking about pastors I've talked to. I travel all over the United States with Pastor Debbie, and we've heard the stories, the stories, the stories, the stories, the stories. Amen? Are you preaching against having a motor home? No. Going to the lake? No. You just have to keep things right on the inside and not disconnect. I've got relatives that they've had prospered enough to have another house. It's been the biggest curse of their life because it keeps them out of church. Don't look at me like that. See, the Lord just been dealing with me. You're going to have to say some things because people don't get it unless you just say it. They think, well, you know, it just seems like this is what you know, I've just wanted to do all my life. And well, there's a lot of things I'd like to move to Hawaii for the rest of my life. You know, these Iowa winters are getting longer. But it's not about what I want. Is it about what you want? So you need to value divine connections right. Yes. Divine relationships. And not cast them aside so quickly. Yes. Amen. Yes. I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about a spiritual supply that is on somebody that God has set in your or my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to get to something here in a second that'll help us understand this. But we've got stories in 2 Kings 4, verse number 8, where the Bible talks about Elisha. And then 1 Kings 7, verse number 8, where God sent Elijah to a widow woman in Zarephath. He said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Pastor Hagin, years ago, we went to Rainbow Bible Church. Pastor Hagin preached a sermon called A Place Called There. Classic. Just helped me so much. But A Place Called There. There's a place God has for each one of us in the body of Christ. Notice he said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Every one of us, God has for every one of us a place called there. Where there's a supply, there. Where there's a connection with an anointing, there. Oh, and properly connecting there is one of the keys to operating in the blessing that is yours in Christ. Not the only one, but it's one of them. We want all that God has for us, right? And so to get all of it, we have to get all the flows coming to us. Praise the Lord. And so all the blessings that are in your covenant will work best in the plan of God or that place called there. Amen. In a place of disconnecting, all those things that God intended for your or my life, that he had in mind for our life, will be hindered from working as well as it will in the place called there. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. I've seen people come to church and start advancing in the blessings of God. And then get disconnected, and what they used to be bound with come back on them, like I said earlier. I know for myself. I can tell if something's trying to get back on me, and I know, and I have to ask, why is this? And I have to judge myself in something. Amen, because Jesus said things will try to come back. You ever read that? Amen. And this can be one reason people are struggling. Don't struggle to get into something that's already on somebody that God said connect there. They like it. How about over here? People struggle to get into something. I'm just endeavoring to get into this. Why don't you connect where God said connect, where they've already got that working for them? I'm telling you, there's a financial flow at Spirit of Faith Family Church. And you're about to see another miracle. Amen. Just hang around and learn. Hallelujah. So it's important that we understand these things. Praise the Lord. I can feel that coming out of some of you, but that's all right. I've pastored for 20, how many years have we been here? 22, 23, I think. 22. And I've watched, there's certain people, some people are kind of better at it than others, but staying right. But there's certain people that if you can keep them close, they keep getting help. Some people stay close on purpose. They know how to stay close. But some people, you just got to kind of keep them close. Because sheep wander off. You know? Where's a bunch of sheep? Where'd Betsy go? You know? Way over on that hill over there. Betsy, come here. You got to go over there and get Betsy. Amen. That's Ann's job. Just going after Betsy. Amen. Hallelujah. So, because you want to help people. And some people, they kind of have a, not everybody, don't misunderstand, but some people, they sort of have a tendency to get off. They get too far away from their pastor or their local church, and they start getting into strange thinking. Spring starts springing. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? That didn't come from here. Amen. I don't know who that's for. Just go ahead and say amen, praise the Lord, and we won't think it's you. As long as they're where they belong, things are working right. Right? Then they start getting a little disconnected and strategies of the enemy start working against them. And so it shows the blessing of being in the right place. There's help in the right place. I constantly, Pastor David and I talk about it, it's just constant. The help we get when we sit under Pastor David, we listen to her, you know, during the week a lot, but, you know, we need to get inner meetings.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So that's why we do. But when we get just the help, it's just like, it's like going to a chiropractor. It's like, yeah, praise the Lord. Your thinking gets straightened out. Amen. Hallelujah. And things start working for you that weren't working. All right, I guess I can share this. I don't know how much I've shared, and I'm not even going to share it all now yet. Got to be able to handle what's being shared. But the Lord said to me, we had, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever it was. He said, it's too long to share all of it. But I had a dream, and God showed me some things about our divine connection. But then the Lord started talking to me from the story of Ruth and Naomi. I think a year and a half ago or so, maybe not even that long ago, but started talking to me about that story. I think I've shared a little bit about it. I think on the airplane testimony, I shared a little bit about it. I didn't get that all out, but there's a lot there. Where you go, I'll go. She wasn't just saying, I'm not going to, you know, and your God will be my God. She wasn't saying, you know, I'm not going to serve idols anymore, although that was included. But she was saying, whatever you get into in God, in your God, I'm going in there with you. And he started talking to me about that. And he said, I gave you that dream about your connection with Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne, and Pastor Nancy. And I don't know how much of that I've shared. Some of you might have heard some of that. Had to do with the ministry. But but then he said, whenever he started talking to him about Ruth and Naomi, he said, you greatly limited me on your thinking about that dream. I wasn't just talking about ministry. I was saying to you, like Ruth said to Naomi, whatever Pastor Nancy goes into, you can go into. I'm inviting you to go into it because you stay connected with somebody and they get into something, you can get into something. Brother Hagin told all us ministers in Bible school, he said, be careful who you follow closely because whatever happens to them will happen to you. And he said, if they die, I'm talking about ministers, if they die young because they either got out of the plan of God or whatever, different reasons. He said, you'll die. If you follow that ministry close, you'll die young. If they have longevity, and they fulfill their course and stay stable. If you follow them closely, you'll stay stable. You'll have longevity. And he would talk to us about that. Whatever's on them will get on you. And he used Elijah and Elisha as an illustration. Amen. But you hang around people that are just about half-baked spiritually. You know what half-baked means? You ever flipped a pancake? Before you flip the pancake, it's only half-baked. Right? Some Christians are like that. Bible talks about, there's a verse in the Bible that says Ephraim is a cake half-baked. You ever read that verse? Yeah, it's not on your refrigerator, but it's in there. It's in the Bible. In other words, he's not cooked all the way through. You can hang around those kind of Christians that aren't cooked all the way through. And you won't get much out of the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. So hang around people that are getting into some things that you want on you. And he dealt with me. He said from Ruth, the story of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth said about Naomi, whatever, because you remember the story. She was a Gentile bride of Naomi's son, and their sons, Naomi's sons died. And Naomi's going back to Israel. She sold her daughters-in-law, Ruth and, is it Orpah, I believe? Go back to your families. I'm going to go back to Israel. And Orpah went back, and Ruth said, no way. Where you go, I go. Your God will be my God. And where you lay your head, I'll lay my head. And because of that, it's a whole beautiful story. Because the Lord he woke me up one morning and said, I want you to read that book of Ruth. I thought, the book of Ruth. I guess I've read parts of it. I don't think I've ever read it. And I started seeing this. Where you go, I'll go. And basically, if you read the story, Naomi was, she was in Boaz's family. Boaz was her nephew, was it, I believe? Could be wrong about that. But anyway, Boaz was really in, we found out later, maybe they didn't know it then, but he's in the lineage of Jesus, the lineage of David, which was the lineage of Jesus. And Naomi was in that lineage because she's of Boaz's family, but Ruth got into all of that. She became a, what's the word, an ancestor or whatever, the progenitor, she was in the lineage of Jesus, the lineage of David, which was the lineage of Jesus. She got into, in other words, where Naomi goes in God, she's getting into it because of her connection with Naomi. And I saw that. I saw others can bring me into things in God that I would never get into myself. And he spoke to me about our connection with Pastor Nancy, and he named me, I got to look it up, maybe four or five, I don't remember if it was four or five different things that Pastor Nancy is getting into. And he said, because of your connection, you can mix your faith with being able to get into that. And I'll give you one of them. He gave me four or five. I have to look up four or five, I don't remember. But he gave me, I'll give you one of them. And you know what he said it was? I got to check if I can say, I'll give you two. I'll give you one. I'll give you one. One of them was, he said, the paid off flow.
Yes, amen. Yes.
The aircraft is the first thing we've ever done, paid cash for something like that. And that's not that's not all of it. We're moving. Because she got into that paid off. And I shared this with her in August last year at the Miracle Crusade up in Ontario. I shared it with her. She said, yep, that's right. That's right. She understands that. Hallelujah. And the favor of God, the things that are happening in many areas, but financially. Praise the Lord. So, are you glad you came tonight? There are anointings on people to bring you and I into the things of God. Well, I don't need anybody. Oh, you do. Oh, you do. I do. I would not, Pastor David would not be where we are without the connections we've made. Now, I've told quite a few people this. I said, I'm convinced, I know of people that are called of God. My goodness, where'd the time go? But I believe probably have a stronger anointing on them than we do. And yet they're struggling in the ministry a whole lot more than we do. And here's the reason why. They're loners. They don't connect with any supplies in the body of Christ, which is unscriptural. There's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. We're a body jointly connected. But anyway, they don't connect with others in the body of Christ. We do. It's not that we're special. It's just that somehow or another, God got through to us. You need to connect right. Thank God, whatever it took, an angel going boing, get it, or whatever it took, we got it. Hallelujah. I can't say that either. But praise the Lord. There are people that just struggle because they don't let somebody that God wanted to help them get into some things. Hallelujah. So, are you glad you came tonight? Yes. Whew, we could take so many. There's so many directions we could go. Go over to Hebrews 12. We got to start wrapping this up. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Say Esau. Esau. This is really what we want to talk about. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Remember that? The story is in Genesis 25. It starts in verse 31. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers, you remember? Jacob Esau was the oldest. Esau had the birthright is in the Jewish law and so forth, the firstborn had a double portion of all the inheritance. You know, if there's five boys, or I guess I don't remember if girls got what, but if there's five, then it would be two portions go to the firstborn. It was a blessing. It wasn't just something natural, it was something spiritual. All right, so sell me your birthright. And Esau sold it. Remember, he came out of the field and he was hungry. And Jacob was making some pottage, porridge, whatever it's called. And Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob's the second born, but now he has the right of the blessing of the firstborn. And it included an inheritance. Well, we're not the firstborn in the kingdom of God, but Jesus is. He's the firstborn among many brethren.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. But by coming into Christ, we got into an inheritance.
Yes.
A right. In all, and Jesus said how much it was, all that the Father has is mine, therefore he takes a mine and shares it with you.
Amen.
Pastor Anderson was talking a little bit about that. So we have a birthright. Some rights in Christ. By the new birth. Hallelujah. It's rights and privileges. It includes all that the New Testament says is included in it. And so, but the thing we need to understand is that what you enter into in the new birth has to be valued. Esau didn't, if you read Genesis, where is that? Genesis, I think it's Genesis 25:34, if I'm looking at it right here. It says Esau despised his birthright.
Yeah.
So something that he had in his family, an inheritance, a right that he had from his father. He didn't have, it says he despised it. The Greek despise doesn't just mean, yuck, ugh, you know, like you despise broccoli. Or asparagus. That was, Pastor Debbie hid her asparagus behind the couch. Did she tell you that? Her mama would feed her asparagus. Oh, spinach. Her mama would feed her spinach. And she'd, when mama wasn't looking, she'd put it behind the couch. And how long was it afterwards? Mama pulls the couch out of the vacuum back there, and there's spinach back there. You got to watch this girl right here. You do. Yeah. She'd eat her spinach if she wanted to go home sick from school. But anyway. How do we get on that?
Despise.
Despise. despise. It doesn't mean, it says he despised his birthright. He wasn't despising like she despised spinach.
Right, right, yeah.
If you look up the word despise, it means to fail to see the value.
Yes.
Can you give me a minute to close this out? Having a pastor is part of your birthright.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not all of it. Don't misunderstand me. But God has offered that to us to help us in all things spiritual, to grow spiritually, to learn the word, renew our mind, feed our faith, learn about walking in love, so we can see what the blessing is that belongs to us and know how to keep the door closed to the devil so that he doesn't rob it from us and all these things. We need somebody to help us walk into these spiritual things. And a pastor is offered to us to have all that, to teach us, to learn and grow. Well, you're drawing attention to yourself. I'm magnifying my office. Paul said, magnify your office. Jesus told people what was connected to them receiving his anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's on me and he's anointing me, and here's what it'll do for you. It'll do this, it'll do that, it'll do that. So that's all I'm doing tonight. And if we connect right, and I have to have that in my life, I'm not exempt from what I'm preaching. So when we do that, listen to me, natural things, Esau valued that pot of stew or whatever it was, lentils, I think it called it, whatever Jacob was cooking, something natural was more important to him than the spiritual endowment on his life, than something spiritual God was offering him, and that he actually had in his hands. My. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So Esau, basically, got all messed up in his thinking about what was really important. Are you still here?
Yes.
Can you handle just a little bit more?
Yes.
Faith, Hebrews 11:24-26, tells us that because of Moses' faith, because of his faith, he was able to make right choices about who he's going to fellowship with. Faith is for much more than getting saved or healed. It'll help you make right decisions. It'll help you value things right. By faith, in verse 24, Moses, who's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, see, faith makes right choices. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming means valuing. Faith will help you value the right things. Unbelief will say, well, you know, I don't need church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need divinely, you know, connected upright like that. I need to get more money. I need to work a third job or something like that. You don't have the right, you're not valuing where this all comes from. I'm not against having a third job, but does it keep you out of church? Amen. This is so simple, but it's so profound. So Moses, because he was a person of faith, he was enabled to make right choices, particularly about who he was fellowshipping with and what fellowship he honored the most. Rather than, because Egypt offered him everything this world could want. He's in line for the throne, actually. I was reading some things recently that said he's actually in line for the throne. And he threw all that away because he valued something else more. We got to learn to do that. About all that God offers us, but even about divine connections. Amen. If anything we have, anything we're doing, keeps us from being rightly connected with Pastor Nancy, whatever is keeping us from being rightly connected is going on the chopping block.
Yes. Yes.
That's how important it is to us. Faith thinks right about some of these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith chooses and honors spiritual connections over fleshly relationships. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love my family and they're valuable to me and I enjoy their fellowship, but I don't put that before my connection with our spiritual supply. Amen. Amen. Thank God in our case, it's not an either or thing, right? Amen. So who you choose to be your highest fellowship shows what you honor most. Yes. Praise the Lord. If you, if natural relationships are a priority to you, then you are basically saying, and you make choices based on that relationship, you're basically saying that I value that more than my divine supply. You know, it's not always an either or thing. You understand. But I'm talking about if it comes down to either or. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And whatever's on people, by fellowshipping with them, that gets on you. If they don't value having a pastor, and you're going to move there to live with them, or they don't have a pastor, or they, listen, somebody said, well, there's not a good church in my area. Well, then move. Move. Why would I do that? People do that for a job all the time. Well, I don't know that. I mean, that's just not that important to me. Right. We understand that. Not endorsing it, but we understand. People, they have different value systems. The Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. In other words, there's things God values that men don't value. There's things that men value that God don't think is important at all. Amen. That's just the truth about it. Local church is not valued in our culture like it once was. Amen. And so don't let the spirit of the world get on you. What they think is important is not worth anything at all, comparatively. Amen. Are you glad you came tonight? So what, and so whichever relationship you protect in order, or you put on the chopping block to protect the other one, it shows which one's most important to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm on a rescue mission tonight. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One of the ways you can tell what's important to you is what you protect. If you value your house, you protect it. You value your checkbook, you protect it. No, that's right. You know, that's not. But I'm saying, when it comes to, let me say this. If you won't stand up and say something to somebody who's bad-mouthing a spiritual supply into your life, then you're protecting this relationship at the expense of the one that God connected you with. Pastor Ike would tell people, some of you heard him. He said, don't talk about my pastor in front of me. He said, because as soon as I'm done talking to you and telling you, you know, shut up, basically. He said, I'm going to pastor and telling him. He was protecting he and my's relationship at the expense of whatever somebody else chooses to do. Somebody said, well, Pastor Ike cut me off. No, you cut yourself off from Pastor Ike. Pastor Debbie and I are the same way. Don't talk about Pastor Nancy in front of us. You know, critically. Hallelujah. So, what's valuable to you? What's most important to you? You got to know which one you can stand to lose. Praise the Lord. Which one's replaceable? Well, then we can't be friends anymore. Well, I love you and I'd like to be your friend, but... new friends. Stand up with me. I know there's a lot of things in Pastor Debbie and I's life that is not here because of us. Just not here because of us. You understand what I'm saying? Revelations, favor, anointings, praise God, things that are working for us. So, these things have got to be talked about because this is a big issue when it comes to prosperity. And the word that we get in our local church is really valuable in the area of prosperity. Amen. Amen. I know Dr. Dufresne said years ago, he made this statement because one of his supplies into his life was Dr. Summerall. I think he called Dr. Summerall his pastor, if I remember right. Brother Hagin was his spiritual father. But after Dr. Summerall went on to heaven, I don't know how much longer after that, Dr. Dufresne went out to Dr. Summerall's grave, you know, just to, you know, see how it was done and everything, and just to be honorable. And so he went out there and he said it was all grown up in weeds, wasn't taken care of. And Dr. Dufresne said, boy, how quickly they forget you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's dishonor. Our culture doesn't, especially this younger generation, doesn't know anything about honor. Very much. Very much about honor. You're not going to learn it at the movie theater. You're not going to learn it down at the college or the university. They're not teaching honor. But God still has a standard. I said, God still has a standard. Hallelujah. Spiritual things are not static in you and my life. They're always increasing or decreasing. Depending on how we are honoring them. Depending on how valuable they are to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Well, I thought this was a series on prosperity. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Young people, listen to me. Any relationship that is keeping you from getting what you need spiritually, you need to decide which one's going on the chopping block. Which one's going on the chopping block? Amen? Because, you know, well, they're my friend. Well, what's that have to do with it? You know what I learned? Can I just finish this out? You know, I graduated from high school a few years ago. And I learned all the popular people that everybody thought was, you know, wanted to be their friend and everything. Today, they're losers. And if I'd have valued that relationship more than what God was doing in my life, which moved me away from where they lived to where a divine connection was for me, I'd be with them today, a loser. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. They're just floundering and spinning their wheels and having problems and all. Praise the Lord. Still glad you came tonight. This is tight, but it's right. I think we just need a little bit of examining of ourselves sometimes. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. We receive it. Thank you for the help and the direction. You said, oh, let me help you. Let me help you. So, Father, we receive your help. And Father, any adjustments we need to make, we examine ourselves under the light of your word tonight, and we make those adjustments. We say, Father God, we value spiritual things more than natural things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, reveal what this means to us, each of us individually. What does this mean for me? What is the Spirit of God dealing with me about? And we say yes to whatever the Lord's dealing with us about. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Hagin tells a story of a young girl in one of his churches whenever he was pastor. And he said she got connected up with a guy that was not right, carnal. You know, she's a single girl looking for a mate, spouse. And this guy wasn't right, carnal, you know, just wasn't spiritual at all. And she started falling in love. Somebody said, well, I fell in love. What's that got to do with it? You can also fall out of love. Get out of it. Most people's love is affections. And you're told to set your affections. Not follow them. Set your affections on things above. Once you know it's the plan of God, then set your affections on them. But you know what I mean. So she got her affections set on him and a little heart went pitter-patter, you know. And then some people elderly ladies in the church tried to help her and warn her. You're not trying to be the Holy Ghost, but listen, everybody knew it. And so she just, you know, went down to the altar one night and prayed and said, God told me, you know, exactly what these elders in the church were telling her. You know, this isn't right, cut it off. So she cut it off. And so, but this young man wooed her back And she went back into it and married him. And ended up, if I remember right, ended up being like a prisoner in her own home. This guy was one of those controlling types. And had to basically get rescued out of that situation. People say, why'd God do that to her? He didn't. It's just that she valued that affection for somebody over where she needed to be. Amen. We're learning. Praise the Lord. And young people, listen, they might be popular now, but they could be turn out to be losers. I know that's a hard word, but you know what I'm talking about. You want to turn out with them? You want to be somebody that's a humdinger. Hallelujah. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for the truth tonight. Amen. We're examining ourselves, right? Making adjustments. Hallelujah. So we love you. Tell your neighbor, Pastor loves us. Don't take this wrong. Pastor loves us. Amen. Clyde Fickus was one of them. John Euler was another one. Boy, they were bad influences on me. But there were some church kids that my parents kept me around by going to church all the time that were really good influences on me. And I'm convinced they helped me get to where I'm going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.